Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Doing great. Doing great.
Love that shirt.
Thank you very much. I like yours too.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Also joining us today is Steve Kalaszewski.
Well, hello, and I also like your shirt.
What's up with my shirt?
I'm just giving you two thumbs up, or actually four thumbs up.
Personally, I'm like, you know, I would like to wear the same color shirt every single day. You know, and it just I guess I'm living on the edge. Of style.
Amazing. This is nice.
You don't want to distract from the Lord. You know, you want to be able to, of course. If you noticed over the years, we've been watching. He's getting more fashionable and more fashionable.
Wow.
Actually, in a short period of time, I think he's done that.
Yes.
Welcome to VFN TV and Daily Radio Program. Obviously, we have a conversation out loud. We like to really talk about what's going on, a normal conversation, but you know, try to, you know, hear clearly about what's taking place and making sense of what doesn't make sense, you know, God's news behind the news. When you think about this, that Jesus said, while he's walking the earth in his ministry, he said, you know, the farmers know when to plant their fields and, you know, when to harvest, and they understand when the rain is coming. But he says, talking to his folks, he says, you don't even understand the times. You don't understand the seasons. It's important to understand that it's important to understand that we can just bury our head in the sand of denial and say, you know, it doesn't really matter. You know, that's for religious folks. You know, I said a prayer. You know, I attend church on Easter. I got a good friend that's a Christian, you know, I don't pick up my Bible. I just trust my friend who passes by church buildings that have, you know, statements on the signs, slogans, you know, and if you listen to their entire year, it's like four slogans this year really stood out to me the most. And you think, did you ever enter into the congregation and spend some time listening to what was being taught there and all? And, but sometimes they're more powerful. I think the biggest, if we had a Twitter account, I think Solomon, in his wisdom, I think about that. He was basically just posting little short Twitters.
You know,
you think
tweeting
about it,
all day. Yeah.
Tweeting all day. And this is a powerful statement. So it can be said in short periods of time. But understand the times and the seasons that we really have to pay, you know, close attention. And some of the things that we're sensing, what we're talking about today, and you make sure if you didn't get our earlier program this week, you need to catch it. I mean, it's all, you know, just connecting and helping us really understand the times and how what's taking place in America and what God is saying, what we're hearing him say. But understand that begin to understand that there is a tribulation coming. You know, if you're in America, you know, some people say that, you know, you're not going to suffer. Mm-hmm. You're going to go straight from your cut. You're going to be standing there with your, you know, cappuccino in your hand, and you're just going to drop it, and you're going to go to heaven. Right. It's going to just like suck you to heaven, and you're just going to go up in this. Angels are going to carry you by your arms, and they're going to fly you up, and they're going to bring you into your mansion, which will probably have like cable, you know, according to some of these messages being taught.
Right.
You know, and you won't be confronted. Your life, you won't have to look at your life. There's not different levels of heaven. There's not different access. I mean, there's no different recognition for what you did in your life and that type of thing. And just as long as you said a prayer somewhere, everything's going to be cool. But if you're in Iraq and you're a Christian, you don't have a cappuccino. You're running for your life. You're running to the mountains in the north, and you're seeing your husband or your children beheaded. You're seeing yourself. And that's tribulation. That's tribulation. And it's tribulation caused by a spirit of Antichrist. You look at this radical, when you look at Islam, radical Islam, that is the anti-Jesus Christ as a son of God religion. Mm-hmm. They say that he's not the son of God, and he has to come back and repent for calling himself the son of God. So that is the spirit of Antichrist. And so how can we say that we're not going to go through tribulation? This may shock you, that even though we have great wealth in America, we're only 5% of the entire world's population. 5% of like 7 billion folks. This is another thing that may shock you. Not you personally, but what you've been hearing. God loves the other 95%.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Just as much as he loves you.
He created them too.
Well, in his image and his likeness. And when you understand that, you start getting real humbled and go, just because we have greater wealth and a greater blessing doesn't mean that, God thinks of us in a greater way other than this. He has greater expectations of us because he's been given much, much is expected. Mm-hmm. And God is expecting us to do something with that which he's entrusted. He says, you know, he blessed Abraham to be a blessing to all nations. God blesses us to be a blessing. Mm-hmm. You think about it. And so what are we doing with the blessing? You know, what is America doing with the blessing? What did you do? I mean, if we're like the richest folks in the face of the earth, you know, living in the top 3-1% of the world, America, our poorest person's richer than like 70% of the world's population. Mm-hmm. So you can say, you know, medium income and up, you're looking at the top 3 or 1%. And what are we doing with our wealth? You know, what are we doing? Are we feeding the hungry? Are we, you know, spreading the gospel? I mean, he expects that from us. That's why he gave us. That's why when you think about Israel, he says, Jacob, he says, Abraham, I'm blessing you so that you would be a blessing to many nations. And the blessing comes ultimately through Jesus Christ. When Jesus blesses us in salvation, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all the nations. Be a blessing to the nations. Mm-hmm. And then if he entrusts wealth and influence and authority to us, there's a huge expectation. Mm-hmm. What's so cool is that maybe religion told you that you couldn't do it, but God's going, forget about that. I told you to do it. Mm-hmm. And you stand alone before God. This will really encourage you too. Maybe not, but you're going to stand alone before the throne room of God. You're not going to answer. No witnesses or no suspects. You're going to have nobody here's a witness. They'll tell you why I didn't do what you said. Or here's a suspect. Let me tell you, they're the reason why I did what I did or whatever. There's none of that going on. You stand alone before God, which means you can get past all trying to get men's approval for what God's called you to do and do what God's called you to do in love, but do it. And so it's like, you know, I want to live my life so when I stand before the Lord that you'll hear the words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been entrusted with this much, that much, whatever he's entrusted mm-hmm. you with. And you did it. You invested it for return. In other words, God can give you something. And maybe it's if you measured it, it was like 2 or 3 or 4. And you can take that and be faithful with it. And you can turn it into 6, 7, 8, 10, mm-hmm. 12. And so what he gave you was not all you can get. If you actually use what he gave you for his glory, it will actually grow into more. And then that will be more. And then that will be more. And then it just exponentially grows. And when he talked about these talents, when Jesus was talking about this, the story about the talents, you know, one man was given 2, one man was given 5, and one man was given 1. The master returns. He talks to the one with 5. He says, what did you do? You know, I went out and invested it, and I got 5 more, so the 5 went to 10. He said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You've been faithful over a little. I'll make you over more, right? Mm-hmm. So the one with 2, I think he took it to a bank or something, got interest, and so he comes back, and he doubles it. What's 2 to 4? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You know, enter into the joy of the Lord. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you faithful over, or I'll put you over many. So here comes the one person. How many people have a small thing that God's given them? And you see why they've been given a small thing, because you can't even be trusted with the one thing, mm-hmm, right?
Right.
I want more. It's like, you haven't even mastered tithing on a dollar yet. I mean, yeah, you want $1 million yet? You can't put a dime in the kingdom mm-hmm. of God. And it's like, but if I win the lottery, this is not a lottery. Anyway, right. So Jesus, this is God talking to us through his son, because he said he didn't say nothing, do nothing unless he heard the Father say it or do it. So this is God talking to us. And he said, what about you? What about that thing you keep calling small and insignificant? You're always measuring. Look, I don't have much, and everybody has all that. And, you know, if I had 2 of those, I could do this, but I don't have 2. I just got 1, and I can't sing. I can't type. I can't do this. I can't build. I'm all these I can'ts. No witnesses, no suspects. He stood alone before the throne room of God. He stood alone before the master, and he said, what about you? And he said, I was afraid. I was overtaken by fear. All I could think about was troubles and myself and what might happen to me. But I did take what you gave me, and I buried it. I buried it so nobody could get to it. As a matter of fact, my own wife didn't even know I was a Christian. Huh. My children didn't know I was a Christian.
Wow.
The people that were, I was buried so safely, Jesus, that nobody even knew that I had this laying inside of me. And this guy, he's expecting something.
That's right.
He's actually expecting, he's like, oh, great, great. You know, you kept what I, you know, that's that what I wanted you to do?
You didn't tell anybody?
You didn't tell anybody? You know, you didn't use one little ounce? You know, or you're going to say, well, I did prostitute it. You know, I used it for my own personal gain.
Mm-hmm.
I used the talent to get me bigger things, bigger houses, more stuff, to promote myself, to get me several homes, nice cars. I've had like 10 cars over my lifetime and all this kind of stuff. But as for you, I didn't get anything for you. That's an American situation, mm-hmm. more than likely. And what's Jesus going to say? Because he is giving him back exactly what the master gave him. And he says, you wicked and lazy. Think about it. You wicked and lazy. How many people are so offended?
Mm-hmm.
Wicked and lazy. I was just scared. Or another word for scared, I was just shy. That's a real sweet word for a horrific stronghold called fear that only the love of God can defeat and run off by understanding that faith is the opposite of that. He said, you wicked. I mean, think about it. How horrific is that? Because it's over at that point. You're standing before the judgment seat of Christ.
That's right.
I don't want to hear that. And it's, and let me tell you, there's a lot of folks held captive that will, they'll be used by the adversary the way Peter was used at that one moment even with Jesus. He says, don't go to Jerusalem. And Jesus looks at Peter and said, you almost tempted me not to do the Father's will. And it's amazing how their mouths are used. If you listen and you take credit to what these men are saying, and you say, okay, I'm just going to bury it, you're going to be held accountable all by yourself in your life before the throne room of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to ask you, what did you do with it? And you got to answer for that. You got to answer for that. And so, and that's why you would just you get around folks who understand this. Fellowship with other believers who are living their life to invest everything that they have for him. That they're refusing to give up any ground that God has given. They don't back down from anything that the Lord would say. I mean, themselves, yeah, but not what the Lord would say. And they're saying, you know what? You know, as for me and my house and those who say yes to God, we're going with God. Even at times that there's some of you that if you take that stand, your very house will leave you. You know?
Yeah.
Your spouse will leave you. Your parents or child will leave you. But you know what? That's the cost. The cost is huge. The cost is so huge that God, to redeem us, had his son, allowed his son to be nailed to the cross. That was the only way we could be redeemed. He gave his son for us. That's how, and for us to say anything other than, you know, well, that was too hard of a price, and, you know, I wanted to be popular, and I didn't want my wife or my husband to leave me or my children to think bad of me. I didn't want my boss to fire me. I mean, how is that going to measure up when you're talking face to face with our master, God, and he's going, you know, what did you do? And you're going to, my son was crucified. I had him nailed to a cross and beat and whipped for you. And I rose him from the dead on the third day. And we're going to say, I was afraid.
Mm-hmm.
I was intimidated. I let the season of my existence intimidate me. I let religious Pharisees and Sadducees, you know, judge me down to where they lock me in their prisons or whatever. Or do we say, you know what? Come heck or high water, if God tells me to do something by his grace and in view of his mercy, you know, I'm going to do it because you're going to stand alone. And what's so cool is no man can steal your reward. Mm. No man can steal it. Yes, one man can. You can steal it. You can believe the lies of the enemy, not focus on the finished work on the cross, and you can bury everything that God has given you, only waiting for that judgment day to come to say, you know what? I didn't do anything with it. And worse than that, you can prostitute it and use it for your own selfish gang. I encourage you today. Make a decision today. Say, you know what? I'm going to stand up. I am not going to give ground anymore. I'm going to keep the conversation light. I'm going to live the rest of my life loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. More when we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Have you felt it? Dark forces marching across our country, an agenda trampling upon our first freedoms, endangering our First Amendment rights, the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, the freedom to petition our own government. Talk about biblical standards publicly in this new era of so-called tolerance? You could be bullied, fined, subpoenaed, fired from your job, or worse. Recently, the speeches and communications of five pastors in Texas were subpoenaed by Houston's openly gay mayor and her attorneys. The subpoenas were the mayor's response to citizens collecting over 50,000 signatures in 30 days to put her special homosexual rights measure on the ballot. This bulldozing of the First Amendment freedoms of pastors in Houston is unprecedented. Is it a preview of what's coming to your community? It doesn't have to be, if America returns to God and His truth. Scripture tells us to put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. We are inviting you to join with Christians across the country in support of the pastors in Texas and for religious freedom across our nation. Join us Sunday night, November 2nd, 2014, for I Stand Sunday. You'll hear from the five Houston pastors, as well as Governor Mike Huckabee, Duck Dynasty's Phil and Al Robertson, Dr. Ed Young, Southern Baptist Convention President Dr. Ronnie Floyd, host Tony Perkins, and other Christian leaders. The I Stand Sunday simulcast event is a chance to stand with these pastors and stand against the radical agenda sweeping our nation. Sign up now at istandsunday.com.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy.
$50 Eye Guy.
How do you teach a five-year-old about life? This is Focus on the Family Minute, and explaining a concept can be real challenging to parents of younger children. But VeggieTales creator Phil Vischer has some encouragement.
You have to simplify a story. Yeah, and we do it. We teach our kids about the police. You know, if you have a four-year-old, you teach the police very simplistically. They're guys to help you. Okay, you're never going to say, oh, but occasionally they're crooked ones. They're bad cops. And occasionally, you know, we have to investigate the police force because there's bribery. No, that's not an appropriate message for a four-year-old. A four-year-old needs it simplified. Is it 100% accurate? What you tell a four-year-old about the police? Not necessarily, but that's okay.
Look for ways to relate truth to your child according to their age and development. Biblical concepts can be understood on many different levels. You'll find more trusted advice at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, we try to share the conversation we're having with our listeners. We really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN Torch. You got to go there. You have get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And so, you know, thinking about this, that, you know, we're going to be talking about, you know, getting a biblical perspective of all creation, of our creation, of why we're here, you know, for fellowship for God. When you think about why we're created to have fellowship with God. That's a primary thing. And fellowship with God, a friend of God is one who hears God and does what he says, you know. That's a friend. A friend is not somebody who just shows up, you know, hears you talk and then just walks away. I mean, a friend cares about what you care about. And we didn't, you know, so many things being taught that are incorrect and does not line up with Scripture. And but you can verify it by just picking up the Bible and reading it. It's not that complicated. Whatever it says is what God's talking about. And you know, people tell you, you know, what does that mean to you? Well, it means what it means. You know, how that applies to your life can be differently. But it does, some people are trying to change, you know, the interpretation of God's word, but it's the same. It means the same thing. And one is that when you look at, you know, we're supposed to be building for 1,000 years, you know, and just get a long-term vision. And we talked about, you know, Admiral Stockdale and understanding on an earlier program about, you know, getting a long-term vision about what's going on. That's difficult to do when doctrines are being, you know, people are telling you that any moment in a twinkling of an eye, you're going to drop your cappuccino and you're going to be taken away to be with God. I mean, it's throwing you off because God's going, build for 1,000 years, and you're just like, you're waiting to drop your cappuccino. I mean, you're just, you know, that's really what's going on. You know, in a moment, we'll all be at Starbucks. We'll be having our pumpkin latte, whatever, you know, because we love Jesus. And he's just going to take us away, and everybody else is going to suffer. But I myself, I'm not going to suffer. I'm not going to go through anything. 5% of the world's population, then a percentage of the 5%. They're Christians in America, while, you know, Miriam Ibrahim is having to deliver her child in chains in Sudan prison, trying to escape to the country that we live in, while we're not even utilizing this freedom that God expects us to do something with. Because, you know, people say, well, the world's going to be destroyed by fire. And it's like, well, what about the 1,000-year millennial reign? I mean, that's going to be on earth. When you think about the world was destroyed by the flood. The earth wasn't destroyed by the flood, but it was mankind and life that was happening at a time when the earth was destroyed. The earth was still here. And God's going to redeem the earth. He's going to redeem the kingdoms of this world. I mean, he's going to redeem it. And so the thing about it, we got to get rid of this escapism. I mean, even if, you know, God suddenly just shows up and, you know, takes you out of here, you're going to have to answer for what you didn't do. That you were narcissistic, idolatrous, and all you thought about was escapism, and then how you were not going to suffer for anything. When Jesus said, unless you pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me, you can't have any part of me. I just heard somebody recently say, I just wish God would take me on. I'm like, you better hold on a minute, because I don't see much love there, and you don't want to stand before the throne of God without loving.
No.
Because you got a religious spirit. You think, take you on. You know, you better get busy with the things of God, because he's going to hold you accountable for what you did or didn't do. I mean, look what he said. He said, you know, you wicked and lazy servant. Go where there's weeping and gnashing. You know, all these different things he says. And it's like, don't rush it. You know, you need some time to go, you know what? First, I want to do what he says. I want to, because a lover of God is an obedient person of God, somebody who wants to walk in the ways of God. And there's a lot of people that are saying things that make you feel good so that you will stay in that whole thing as a giving unit. To help fulfill their mandate for their mortgage or their building plan or whatever they're building. But that means nothing when 9/11 hits. The Twin Towers meant nothing. They folded like pancakes when the Joplin tornado hit. That was just nothing. Katrina hit. And when Ivan hit. And when the wars happening and all these different, you know, these things that people are building versus building people and building the kingdom of God. They should be telling you the truth at the risk of them not being able to pay their mortgage payment, maintain their car and their 401k. They should be telling you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not, you need to find someone who's going to tell you the truth, because you're going to be held accountable for the truth. If you said, you know, I'm just going to hang around people that itch my ear, people that make me feel good. And understand that that's one of the signs of the last days. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, you know, there's going to be in the, one of the signs of the times, people are going to be looking for people that all they say is things that make them feel good. And this is evil. He says, have nothing to do with them. And it's not that you know, like, you're not my friend anymore. It's the fact that if you catch that, if you get that disease, you know, you're going to be in that crowd. And next thing you know, you're going to be thinking, if somebody tells you truth, you know, then that's not God.
Right.
And this stuff about saying, you know, that if you get a word, a prophetic word, if God speaks to you and it doesn't bear witness, in other words, something you didn't know already, then it's not God. That's not biblically correct. I mean, tell me that Balaam on his donkey, when he's going there to prophesy against God's folks, he didn't know God was going to deal with him. It took a donkey to turn around and start talking to him, going, okay, this probably doesn't bear witness with you right now, but there's an angel in front of us and he's going to kill us both. He's going to kill. I mean, so that didn't bear witness with what was in him.
Mm.
That's just all pride. God's in control. God is all God, all knowing, omnipotent, omnipresent. And he speaks and we listen. You know, sometimes there is a witness. Sometimes, you know, you're walking with God and you're hearing what he says and there's an amen that happens. But even when you didn't even know and God speaks and you know it's God, even if you didn't have it inside of you, there needs to be an amen following that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Lord says, repent. Oh, that couldn't be God. You know, it's like, because I don't feel like repenting.
Right.
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 And so building for 1,000 years, because to get a long-term vision for God and understand that if you invest what God has given you, if you live for him in this lifetime, and in one way you can do that, just stand with us, stand with VFN TV, the Data Radio program, stand up for God and country in that order in Israel. Who's doing that? Who is stepping outside of the religious caves of doctrinal, you know, buildings and coming outside going, hey, we're believers. You know, we can all come together, kingdom vision, right? You know, we own businesses. We have a leadership in the community. We're normal like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
We can share our opinion. We can talk about what's going on. And people get hope and things happen and we can build for 1,000 years. And he told us, he specifically said, you know, I want you, when he created us, he said, you know, take dominion. You know, he said, you know, to tend the garden. There's a garden of entrustment that God's given to each of us. It's different, but you're supposed to work that thing, that talent, that thing, whatever that is, and just make it more fruitful. And maybe it's your workplace. Maybe you're a pastor, you know, maybe you're a mother and you're doing that for your family. I don't know, but whatever it is, that's his expectation of us, to take dominion, not just to keep giving up land and giving up more land and giving up more doctrine and giving up, you know, the original intent of presently our nation. That's not what he, you know, you should go down standing up. Mm. You know, when you've done everything you can do, don't lay down, stand, you know, right? Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And he says, the Lord says, when you do this, when the enemy comes in like a flood, that he'll raise a standard if we stand. More, we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Jesus said, you know them by their fruit. That's the only way we can really tell who we really are. And then he even tells us, apart from abiding in him, we can't even bear that fruit. Listen to Francis Chan, the author of Crazy Love and leader of and founder of Multiply Movement, share this exact thing. We are known by our fruit.
You know, the fruit will show. You know, if the tree's for real, it's going to bear fruit.
Yeah.
You'll see the action, but we want to make those statements, and we're not following up, and we're deceiving ourselves. I was thinking about this the other day. you know, how James talks about how we can be hearers of the word but not doers. And so we're deceiving ourselves because we're listening and listening and amen, 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 but we're not doing it. Mm. And you know, Satan is the father of lies. He loves deception. Mm. He loves to deceive people. But I think in a lot of ways, he's very happy with what he sees in a lot of gatherings because they're like, I don't even need to work there. Mm. They're deceiving themselves. Mm-hmm. They're going there, you know, hearing a message, amening and not doing it. They're deceiving themselves. Mm. I think Satan's actually very pleased. I want to be careful with it. I mean, based on what I see in Scripture, I think there are times when he's pleased that the Word of God is preached and not obeyed, and that deception is going on, because that's his MO. That's what he loves to do. Mm. He loves to deceive. And so if there's a bunch of people thinking they're following God because they're going, oh, yeah, I heard it. Oh, I heard a really tough message by David Platt the other day. You know, I heard this. I got so convicted, I walked away. I even walked away sad. Me and my friends, we even cried. You know, it's just like this, we did it. And I really think the enemy is going, oh, this is great. Mm. This is great. They're not... when Jesus was about repent, like, let me see you turn. John the Baptist, repent. Let me see you turn. Peter, repent. Mm-hmm. You know, it's turn, turn, turn. And we're all about feel bad, make a grand statement. Mm-hmm. And I think Satan's actually pleased with that.
You're listening to Francis Chan, author of Crazy Love and Multiply Movement. You can find it at multiplymovement.com. Listen. You need to be fruitful. We are known by our fruit. It's going to be a fruit inspection time at the throne room of God because it's not that we're not earning our salvation. The very fact that we are saved, we are fruitful. Listen, if you want to be fruitful today, begin to make this Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you haven't yet done that, go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories and how to do that. Then begin to abide with him and be his disciple. And we have a plan for you, a simple plan for you right now, free. Just go and request it at iabide.org. Iabide.org. Eternity weighs in the balance. Your eternity.
Thank you for watching VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. LIGHT.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So it really, think about it, building for 1,000 years. I mean, how exciting is that? Somebody says, well, you know, why such a long vision? It's like, we're going to live for eternity.
Yeah, that's nothing.
And 1,000 years in eternity is like nothing at all. Yeah. And not only that, we have to spend eternity realizing that we didn't build for 1,000 years. We didn't even build for five. I mean, how many people say 5 years is a long-term investment?
Mm-hmm.
5 years is going to take me 5 years to do this. It's like, it could take our entire lifetime, ever how long that is, to be able to do it. We could lay a foundation that will continue to produce fruit way beyond us, not for our own glory, but for the glory of the one who we're living for, who we're a bondservant for, who we're sons and daughters of. And building for 1,000 years, which means we think about our relationships and life and ministry and business. How do we do that? We build it on love.
Mm-hmm.
You build it on love. And so you have, I mean, when you think about, you look at, the kingdom of God will be preached to all, and then the end will come. Not the end of the earth, the end of the dispensation of grace and the redemption of all mankind. It's got to be more specific because there's a huge assumption that the cappuccino is going to drop. We're going to be out of here. Is that the economy is a very important thing. You look at this big, huge rise of an economy right now, but if you look at the word of God, I believe it's in Revelations, where he's talking about the angels holding back the four winds.
Mm-hmm.
And these four winds would come against and destroy mankind if they were let go. But God is holding them back so they won't bring destruction on mankind. Well, the first wind that came in the history is the wind of military force. So that if you go back and study history, you look where everybody's trying to conquer everybody through, you know, just military strength. And then the next season after that was religion, where you notice the Islam and even the dark ages of the church, and that the military forces submitted up under those religions, and the religion was the one, the wind of religion was blowing and ruling the earth. And then the next season, which we're coming to the end of, and you're seeing it, I believe we've already walked out of it, is the political wind. Because for a while, politics was, people were doing things based on politics, and it was amazing what they could do through voting Hitler in and then Hitler using war. But the political arena is what brought Hitler to that place. He got a popularity vote, and he got there, Stalin and all these folks. And then the military force, you know, submitted itself to politics, and the religion submitted itself to politics. And you look at Ukraine right now, you know, the church is working with the Russian government, the perceived church working with the Russian government to persecute the church in Ukraine. And this last one that we're looking, this last wind that we are in now, it's the economy. It's an economic win. It's money. And people with money, I think the reports are that David Yarn with Kingdom Business Association said that maybe three to eight men, it's eight or less. I don't know how many it was. They were actually the ones responsible for the financial collapse that happened in 2007.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, because they had that kind of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
So then that means the military, the religion, the winds of the military, the winds of religion, the winds of politics. I mean, how many politicians right now, everybody says they're just bought. You know, they're going to do whatever their biggest contributor did. Mm-hmm. The thing is, what you're looking at is now money, the economy. Everything now is submitting. Everything that's not submitted to God is submitting to this last economic power. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, if we're in this escapism mentality, we'll just let that whole wave just kind of go over and destroy all mankind, that wind blow. Or we could say, you know what? It's time for us to preach because God loves mankind. And this is a whole unfolding strategy. And this last evil wind that God's angels are holding back, and if he let it go, it'd just be, you know, that's what happens in Revelation when you look at tribulations and things going on. But if you look at Revelation chapter 13, that's what happens. He says that this beast will be given the authority over the economy. And then if you don't take the mark, you can't move in this economy. You can't buy or sell. People say, well, I got these three other things. I got military force, I got political strength, and I have religion. Like, no, those are submitting now to this last win.
Right.
Now, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's not submitting. But all this religion and all that stuff, you know, religion is what put Jesus on the cross. But a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's not, we're not talking about that. So you're thinking, you know, I'm not going to pay attention to this economy. I'm just, you know, I don't have a credit card. You know, I don't, you know, I pay cash. You know, whatever mindset you have. But you're thinking you have these other three wins. You know, you have this strength, and you have this religion, and you have this political power. And it's like, all that's submitted to money right now. And he says, you cannot buy or sell. If we're building for 1,000 years, we've got to begin to think about this. You cannot buy or sell until you take this particular mark, whatever it is, a seal of the beast. And for some reason, it's a big deal that this thing can speak, which to me sounds pretty interesting.
Mm.
Almost sounds like virtual whatever. It's like, it's talking to me. Siri, where do you want to go today, right? I don't know. But they're amazed that it has been given the ability to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And since men are limited in their power and Satan is limited, I mean, he's going to need something to help him out. And it's like, how many people today, even people that call themselves Christians, would take the mark of the economy? They would take the mark of the beast. They'd say, listen, I'm an American, I'm a whatever, and that, you know, if you're going to do business here, you got to do business. I mean, how many people have we seen that lift their business over God's business? It's amazing. And they talk, it looks at you with a straight face, And they really think that's a reasonable statement before God.
Mm-hmm.
You understood God. I needed to stay in this huge mansion that I lived in America, and this I needed to have these things and this stuff and this private school and and whatever, And it's like no, that business should be submitted to God. I mean, He'll bless it. He loves businesses of God. How many people would just, okay, this is the wind of today's politics. This is the wind of today's religious wind. This is the economic wind. Just, we'll get through this time. You know, this presidency will only last 4 years or 8 years at the most, but we'll get through this. And during that time, just like everything that most people do when they get a program downloaded on their phones or computers, they go, accept, 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 accept. They don't even read. Nobody reads that stuff, even the people that write it. I watched a conference. We may have this on the torch. You can watch them talk about it. It's very boring, but I love stuff like that. And they were talking about, we know that people don't read the stuff that we write, right, which should be totally illegal. They should just have like four bullet points, mm-hmm, something. Then, but so how many people were just going to say, if I got to accept this mark to have economic, the ability to buy food and that type of thing, how many people would do it? And people say, well, the church is not going to do it. Well, think about this. 97% of the church, according to George Barna, people who attend church regularly right now, every 2 weeks, go to a gathering somewhere, 97% of them already serve money.
Wow.
They just may not take, there's not a mark yet or anything, but they serve money because they don't tithe. They rob God of his tithes and offerings. Doesn't George Barna, this is what George Barna says. Mm-hmm. So how do you think that type of mindset is not going to just quickly just poof, take the mark?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, God will let you know. He's letting you know right now. Honor him with the first fruits, but you're not doing it, right?
That's right.
But I don't have enough. Well, you're saying economic power is more powerful than God, that God don't have the ability to provide for you. And by the way, taking the mark is not the sin. Taking the mark is actually not the sin. It represents the sin, which is this, worshiping the beast. That's the sin. So by having the mark, it means we bow down to this last wind of the economy. How many people bowed down to military power that was pushing you outside of God's will during that wind? How many people bowed down to, and denied Jesus Christ during this, Ottoman Empire and Islamic push and these radical religions that pushed across the world during the second wind? And how many people, bowed down into the political season and just gave in to their, during that wind? Now here's this economic wind. You don't think if you bow down to all three winds, you don't think this last one that you'll take the mark and just go, it's just money. It's just business. Or you can say, I'm going to prepare myself. I'm going to prepare myself. I want to begin to move in kingdom business. I want to move in kingdom finance. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about that, because when you begin to see that God has good plans in store for you and for your business and for your economy, because he has an economy totally outside of this economy, and begin to operate now in it, you're preparing yourself to be strong when everybody leans towards that wind and it blows against them and they just start checking the mark off and bowing down to whatever's happening at that particular win. You're going to stand strong because your confidence is built that God owns the cattle on a thousand hill. He truly is the one that has an economy that's more pure than anything in this world. And he can bless you beyond anything you can ever ask or imagine. More we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 eye guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 eye guy.
$50 eye guy.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program.
We're on. Hello. How are you?
I'm sorry, we were waiting for John to get here from his condo. Welcome to VFN TV, the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. I didn't have anything on my ears right here.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
As you can tell, that we're just the everyday carrying on how it works. If you missed our earlier programs, you got to hear as children and young people and dreams and visions and things that are going on, because he says, you know, hear what my spirit says to the churches. And that's called retribution. That's called retribution.
Okay.
Everything kind of works out in the end. And they're not even widening the shot so you can see him crawling around. Okay.
Wow.
Well, anyway, so, oh, now he's back.
Hello.
Do we need amulets? Do we need amulets?
We're good.
Amulets.
You heard that, Lord.
Amulets, lightling.
Germany turning the crickets over.
And so
I was focusing.
Wrestling. We got a bunch of these. We got to write these down.
That's good.
Just so you know, if you ever hear the word, how do you say it?
Wrestling?
Yes. It really means wrestling.
Okay.
That's the interpretation.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So building for 1,000 years, what does that look like? Well, I believe God's going to begin to show us if we just trust him and say, you know what? The first thing he tells us is that, you know, we need to, if you're going to build a business that lasts, that never fails, then you would build it on love, right? Mm. Because love never fails. I mean, you have the beast's kingdom and you have God's kingdom. You have kingdom business and you have beast business. You have God's economy and you have Satan's economy. And right now, you know, based on what we're saying, based on our legislator leadership who said greed is America's motivator, and that's what they say. You know, that means it's built on Satan's economy.
Wow.
You can watch it on C-SPAN. They're just standing before the President. Bill Clinton said it's the economy, stupid. Mm. You see, and that's money. President George Bush said that the Wall Street got drunk on greed. And what it is, they're saying that it's not God's economy. God's economy is not driven by greed. It's not on a foundation of, hey, if you get enough people lusting after more money and stuff, they'll build bigger buildings and hire more people, and therefore we'll have a great unemployment. You know, the unemployment rate will be dropped and that type of thing. It's like, that's not built on, that's like, one particular church organization said their concept was, based on some reports given to me, was that if you get in debt, that will cause your church to grow, because the people who are carrying the debt will want to go out and win people to the Lord to come and help pay the debt. So the whole thing is built on the beast economy.
Yeah.
That's not God's economy. God's economy is not, the whole point about Jesus Christ is he paid our debts. We don't create a debt and then go out and get people to help us pay the debt. And drive people because of narcissism, like, I don't want to pay that bill. I'm going to go tell Joe to come to my church and tell him all the time, are you tithing? He's like, what are you doing? That's the beast economy. That's not God's economy. And so he said, love never fails. So you can build a business, a kingdom business, on love. You can love what you do. First of all, you need to be able to love what you do. I mean, think the best way that you can spend the rest of your life is find out what you love to do and do it. And you'll find out it'll make room for you. Your gift will make room for you. You know, no matter what, you can get paid lower than you got paid in all your life. But every day you go to bed going, you know what? Hey, this is what I love to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm eating. I got a shelter. Life's good. Versus somebody that's built their whole life on just the value of money and the beast economy concept. And they got a whole bunch of widgets and a whole bunch of money, but they're depressed and ready to jump out of the next window.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so you got to first love what you do. Don't quit. You know, love never quits is another way to look at that particular word, failing. And that sometimes the difference between success and failure is 5 more minutes, just not quitting. It's amazing how many successes that we have had just because we continued.
That's right.
What did you do? I didn't quit. It was amazing.
It was a miracle.
Yeah, I had a whole council saying, just quit. Thank you, Lucifer. And just sticking and staying and holding on to God, and it's amazing what he does. I mean, just love doesn't. If you love God and God tells you to do something, and he tells you this is your garden, you're supposed to, you know, love what you're doing. Maybe you're in sales. Maybe you're in real estate. Maybe you have your family and you're just loving on your family. Whatever it is, you just love what you're doing. Maybe you're a leader. You know, you like being in politics and that's your thing to do, but you, in the fear of the Lord, you just love it. You love the people. I know we have, you know, some leaders that are around us, and there's one out of five that is in constant contact with not just his constituents, but the constituents all around the entire, you know, county that he's in. Keeping them up to date. This is what's going on. This is what's happening. Watch out for this. Watch out for that. It's so simple to do with today's technology.
Mm-hmm.
I think, wow, this man is pastoring his district. He's actually staying on top. He loves what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so loving what you're doing is the first thing. Building. So you can't, if you hate what you're doing and you don't want to show up and it's not what God called you to do and it's not in you to do, you need to begin to pray and ask God, you know, what is in me? What talents did you give me so that you can love it? You can love it. And that way you're building it on love. Secondly, I mean, how many people are doing what they don't love?
I'm
going to the call center. Hello. No, anyway, so then the second thing is love your employees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one employee, 10 employees, 1,000 employees. Get this. Really care about them. Care about their families. Care about their every day they're going through the same thing you're going through. They just don't own the company or they just aren't managing it. But they're just like you. They're human beings that create in the image and the likeness of God. Care about them. Love them. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is long-suffering. You're building your business on kingdom business. And guess what? When everybody, these things I'm telling you, when everybody starts to take the mark and just let that wind of this last wind, the angels are holding back, kid, it's catching everybody's sail, you know, the sails of their boat, so they get the seal of the beast. You're going to be stable in the foundation of building your business, kingdom business on God, because you're building it in love. So truly love your employees. Third, and we'll talk more about this in the future. You can hear more about this because, you know, we're all focusing on these seven mountains. And next is love your customer. It's amazing how many people just a customer walks into the store and you don't say a word to them at all. And if you do, it's only because you want them to transfer money from their pocket to yours.
Mm.
What's their name? Why are they there? Where do they come from? Is everything all right? Take your time to know your customer's name. Love them. Love them the way that Christ loved you. Build your business on love. Be grateful. When somebody buys a car from you, call them in 6 months and don't be terrified to ask them how it's doing. If it's not good, take it back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you sold them a 5-year payment plan for a 6-month car, that's not a godly business.
Mm-hmm.
If it only lasted 6 months, but they're paying on it for 60,
mm-hmm.
and you knew that, that is Lucifer's economy. That's the beast economy. But you're thinking your trust in God's economy is, you know, you want to do right by your customers.
And you can think about those businesses that focus on customers. It's like in your everyday life, those businesses stand out to you that like they step outside of the finance and they focus on you. It's huge.
Yeah. And you'll find, I mean, even the world understands this, that mm-hmm. in the church, we have to begin to understand that we are going to be given a choice to be able to build in God's. And the thing about it is we have this escapism mentality, and I'm wrapping this up and I'll talk more in the future on this, that if we have this escapism mentality, we show up at work thinking, anytime I'm going to drop my latte and I'm out of here.
Right.
You know, we're not thinking about building for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
We're not thinking about that he called us to love. And he says, you know, if you don't love your brother, you don't even know God. You don't even love God. And so we have to learn to love folks. But if you're not in the place that you love, doing the thing that you love, and loving the people that are around you, and loving your customers, the ones that are, you know, appreciate them, and you're amazing, you're thinking, God, that they chose to do business with you. And you tell them up front, you go, thank you. You could have shopped anywhere, but you chose to do business here. And I just want to tell you how much that means to me. How's the wife Barbara doing? You know, how, and earnestly mean it. Right. Not because it popped up on some reminder. You truly care about your customers. When it comes time to Christmas, you're thinking about, hey, I want to honor our customers and our employees. I want to have a function that kind of it celebrates everybody. And this is what he said. He said, if you build it on love, love never fails. Love doesn't quit. And if you love it, you won't quit. You'll just figure out a new way to do it. You'll approach it from a different direction. And that's what God's wanting us to do. So what does that mean? That means, and we're coming to the end of our program, and we'll talk more in the future on this, and listen, because we need to begin to build our businesses and our life on the kingdom principles, the kingdom of God, and not the beast economy, on God's economy, not the beast economy, because right now there needs to be a line drawn between what is the beast economy and what's God's economy. Because if 97% of us are not honoring God, we ain't got this figured out yet. Learn more. We'll have more on The Torch, but we'll talk more about it on VFNTV.com. God bless.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Family. Did you know that God has called us to be family? We're called to be the family of God. It's Father God. It's not like King God. It's Father God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is our elder brother. Yes, he's our Lord and our Savior, but he's the firstborn. He's the head of the church. He's our elder brother. We are not, we're heirs of God, not heirs of Jesus. We're joint heirs with Jesus.
That's right.
We're family. We're sisters and brothers. That's what we're supposed to love each other. The family of God. I remember Jesus was sitting around with his disciples in a house, by the way, and he's teaching them about the things of God. Mm-hmm. And his biological mother, Mary, and brother comes to the house, and they're knocking on the outside of the door. And they said, and of course, they're talking to each other, Mary and her son's talking, and says, oh, my goodness, Jesus has lost his mind. They really thought, Jesus has lost his mind.
That's right.
They lost his mind, and he hasn't eaten. He's been a long time since he's eaten. We need to go rescue him. We need to rescue him from his ministry because he's lost his mind. Don't you know this is supposed to happen in a temple, not in a house? And this goes on. And then Jesus, of all the things he said, this is very important. Of all the things he said, he said, you know, somebody comes out and said, yo, your mom was outside. You know? And yo, sir. No, yo, your mom's outside. And so Jesus stops and he pauses. He looks at the disciples and he's talking to them. He says, listen, let me tell you who the family of God is. Mm. Let me tell you who my mother and my brother is. Those who do the will of my Father. Yes, oh, more than anything, you want your biological family to follow God. But the truth is, you have no control over them. You tell them the truth and you honor their decision. Listen, the true family of God is those who follow his teachings, that have a desire to follow Jesus. See, the church is a family. get into your right now where you're at and your fellowship. Say, listen, we need to start being family.
Mm-hmm.
And if people just still relate to you like sand, like organizations, like an orphanage, you know, just get your food, sit down, shut up, don't know nobody. Listen, find a fellowship that functions as family. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you. Maybe there's a church in your area. Maybe God has planted in your heart. So, you know what? I want to begin this in my own city. Check it out. VineFellowshipNetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same.